Pray with me. Father, we do ask that you will speak to us this morning as we just sang. Speak, O Lord. Open our eyes to the truth of your word. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Lord, reveal to us. Guide us, Father God. Keep us on the path of righteousness. Father, we pray that your word will drive down deep within us, that the truth of it will take root, will grow us strong for you, and we will produce much fruit from your truth. Father, we pray that you will do the same for Pastor Rob Stevens of Alethea College Park Church this morning as that church gathers. May the truth of the gospel resonate from the pulpit this morning. Father, we pray the same for other churches here in King George County, that the truth of your word, that the gospel of Jesus Christ will go forth and not fall on deaf ears. That your people will be strengthened today, that they will be encouraged, corrected if needed, Father. And that we will walk in your ways. Father, we pray for our friends as we have all month with Pioneers USA. Father, they are alone and that they are apart from family and friends that they've known. But Father, we know that they are not totally alone, that they are actually more at home than they could be anywhere else because you are with them, Father. Father, we pray that in times of despair or trouble, when they think of what's back here at home, may your presence comfort them. May your presence strengthen them, Father, embolden them with the gospel. And may they see fruit from the ministry that you've called them to, Father God. Lord, we pray for brothers and sisters who are serving all over the world, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we know that you have called many of us to go, and the rest of us to prepare, to help send, to pray for, to encourage and support, Father. Lord, we pray that you will send one of us even to the Druze of Syria. Father, we pray that that people group will come to know you, that you have called people out of the Druze people, Lord, and that you will save them, that you will establish churches, not buildings, not places where they go, but true bodies of Christ who will share the gospel and live in the gospel, and the truth of your word will resonate within them, Father God. We look forward to the day when we stand with a Druze brother or sister around your throne worshiping you, Father. What a great and glorious day. We know that not only do you say you will do it, but Father, you are doing it. And we thank you for that. Lord, guide us today as we go through your word. It's in your name. Amen. We've come to now chapter 3 in the short book of Jonah. This 4-chapter true story about the mercy and compassion of a forgiving God. You'll remember that's the theme of the book of Jonah, the mercy and compassion of a forgiving God. The book is titled after a man named Jonah, but the main character really is not Jonah, it's God. This is a book about God and his grace, about God showing his compassion and giving mercy to those who don't deserve it. God and his grace. You see, grace is the great aspect of our faith. Without grace, there is works that none of us can attain. We are really pitiful without grace. We may try, we may work, we may put forth all of our effort to try and achieve, and every single time, every single one of us, we will fall far, far short. Grace is the great aspect that we all need, and it's the great aspect of our faith. J.I. Packer, in his book, Knowing God, in his chapter on the grace of God, wrote this: "It is commonplace in all the churches to call Christianity a religion of grace. I think, though, like Jonah, most of us don't understand much about God's grace." Paul says, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." We talk a lot about God's grace. We ask God for grace. We say that God is a gracious God, but I think many don't understand grace. Do you this morning understand, as a believer, that you are what you are by the grace of God? Packer goes on to say about many in the church even. To talk to them about the church's heeding or last year's accounts, and they are with you at once. But speak to them about the realities to which the word grace points, and their attitude is one of differential blankness. They do not accuse you of talking nonsense. They do not doubt that your words have meaning. But they feel that whatever it is that you are talking about, it is beyond them. And the longer they have lived without it, the surer they are that at their stage of life, they do not really need it." Are you at a stage in life where you realize that you need God's grace? Or do you see grace as a one and done kind of gift? God gives grace one time, and that's all that you need. Or do you see how truly dependent you are on God and His abundant grace? Packer goes on to say, "The root problem of this in the church is not understanding the relationship between a person and God. It's not just a mental block. It's not that we just don't quite grasp the truth, but it's a heart problem." Packer then gives four truths that explain why faith from God's grace is so incredible. First, what he calls the moral ill desert of man. In other words, the false view that we have of ourselves. The false view of ourselves. We see ourselves as basically good people, not fallen creatures from God's image. We instead imagine a God as a magnified image of ourselves. Packer says that then leads to the second truth, the retribute justice of God. Today, evil is ignored all around us because of the false view of ourselves. Parents don't correct their kids. Communities put up with malcontents and excuse immoral behavior. Depravity is adored in our culture, even idolized, and little is done to change it. Packer then says, "The willingness to tolerate and indulge evil is even seen as a virtue today. We assume that God feels the way that we do. But God calls Himself the judge of the earth. He will do right. He will vindicate the innocent and He will punish lawbreakers." We read that earlier in Psalm 58. Packer writes, "Wrongdoers have no natural hope of anything from God but retributive judgment." It's because of the third truth. So we have this false view of ourselves, The retributive judgment from God is upon us. And it's because this third truth, the spiritual impotence of man. There is a false belief that we can repair our own relationship with God by putting God in a position where he can no longer say no to us. God will somehow accept us in the end. Packer rightly states from the Bible, this is in reality, this is beyond the power of any one of us to make ourselves right. No one is righteous. No one can make themselves righteous. And this then leads to the fourth truth that Packer points out, the glorious truth of the sovereign freedom of God. The sovereign freedom of God. God is holy, God is just, and he is right to look at you and upon your sin and declare you guilty. He's just in that. And God does not, and he says he will not, leave the guilty unpunished. God is not bound to any man. As our Creator, he doesn't owe us anything. He is a judge, and he judges rightly. But he looks upon hopeless creatures who are guilty, and he says, I will do the impossible. I will punish sin, and I will grant repentance. I will free these criminals, and I will make them my children. I will not spare my son, but I will give him up in their place. That's how I will do it. He will bear their punishment, and I will give my love to them. God shows his love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I will justify them by my son's blood. And through faith in him, I will save these criminals. This is grace. This is God's grace. Packer goes on to say, it was God's own free decision to save which brought about the atonement. Salvation is not earned. There is nothing you can do to enter heaven on your own. Nothing. There is nothing that's going to put you into the presence of a holy, righteous God. We are justified freely by God's grace. It is by grace you have been saved. Packer ends his chapter on God's grace, pointing to what the response is when receiving God's grace. With love, God freely gives grace. And the love that awakens, it awakens love in return. Love awakens love in return. And love, once awakened, desires to give pleasure. And the revealed will of God is that those who have received grace should henceforth give themselves to good works. And gratitude will move anyone who has truly received grace to do as God requires. End of quote. Church, we need a good understanding of God's grace. We need to understand God a lot better. We need to know what he says about himself. And Packer, in this chapter, helps us to do just that. I commend his book, Knowing God, to you. It is worth the time to read. A better understanding of God's grace. We're going to see that this morning. Last week, we saw this grace of God restore a man who tried to run away from him. Jonah disobeyed when the word of the Lord came to him. He didn't want to do what God has told him to do. He didn't like Nineveh, so he tried to flee from God. In his mercy, God reached down to this disobedient servant and he disciplined Jonah. He taught him about his compassion for those who disobey, and he showed him that his own salvation is by God's grace alone. And God restored Jonah. Do you realize it's by God's grace that you and I can even read about God's grace to Jonah in the book? That's how dependent we are on God and His grace. God in His grace gave us the story of Jonah so that you and I will then learn about God's grace. Are we then willing to learn the lesson of Jonah? Or will we need to go through a dramatic experience like Jonah? This book of Jonah is in the Bible so that you will learn the easy way, that when the word of the Lord comes to you, you humbly respond in obedience. It's God's grace that His word even comes to you. I don't care if you have a Bible app. I don't care if you've got a stack of Bibles at home. That's not your doing. God's grace has given you His Word. It's God's grace that opens your eyes even to the truth of His Word. And if we're not willing to learn the lesson of Jonah the easy way, maybe we'll have to learn it the hard way like Jonah. Lessons like when he says, "As the Father sent me, I am sending you. Go and make disciples, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. Do the work of an evangelist. Go into the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Make known the deeds of God among the peoples." And at least 30 other times in the New Testament, Jesus telling his disciples that you and me to share the news of Jesus and the need for salvation. We are to remember Jonah and learn from him. We have received the word. God intends for you and I who have been saved by grace to now do our part to fulfill the great commission that he's given the church until he calls us home. Are we willing to learn the easy way? You see, you and I are temporary residents of this land. We don't belong here. We may have purchased our homes. We may have property. We may have all kinds of things that we call ours. But this is not our home. We don't belong here. We are passing through on our way to a greater country, to the eternal kingdom, where we will then rest and praise God for His grace for all eternity. Until we get there, God intends for you and me to tell the world that God saves sinners. But a day will come when He will judge all the earth. He will judge all sin. You see, our mission is clear in this life. We're given grace and we remain on this earth to proclaim that forgiveness for sin is given to all who repent and believe in Jesus Christ. That is why you are alive today. God's grace is only given through His Son. Now, if you have not obeyed God, if you have ignored what God has told you, if you've ignored and pushed aside the command of God for you to go and tell, If for some reason you think your faith is private and not to be shared, and the love that you received is not to be given away, and you've disobeyed God by living like you're a covert, clandestine Christian, then cry out to Him. Repent and be saved. God's compassionate heart is always sensitive to those who cry out for mercy. We see that in the book of Jonah. Last week it was to disobedient children. We saw that in Jonah's prayer, he ended it with, "Salvation belongs to the Lord." But Jonah had to learn a lesson first. This week, God's grace is given through His saints now to those who are lost. In fact, a way to sum up Jonah 3 is to remember Paul's words in Romans 5, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Remember that Jonah was in disobedience. He was running from God, and God came to him. God saved him, and God opened his heart to the truth of who He is. The steadfast love of God kept Jonah and then turned him from a rebellious runaway into an obedient servant. After that, the Lord spoke to the fish. It spit Jonah out onto dry land. And let me read the first two verses of chapter 3 again. After that, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. If you and I are not careful, these verses are so plain and clear to us that when we read them, we're going to just skip over them and we're going to miss how amazing these verses are. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. God is incredibly gracious. His grace is persistent. It is not just a one-time gift. God came to Jonah again. This is after Jonah disobeyed Him. After Jonah tried to flee from Him. The word of the Lord came to him again. After God had disciplined Jonah. It was like God pushed the rewind button in Jonah's life. God said, "Now that you've learned your lesson, I want you to go to Nineveh and tell them my message." This is almost word for word the same as chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It's almost the exact same words. God came to Jonah a second time with the same word. God didn't have to. But in His grace, He dealt with Jonah like a father deals with a defiant child. God let him go far enough to feel the misery of his decision. And then He taught him a life lesson. And He said to him, "Now that you've learned your lesson, now that you've learned, I want you to go and do what I've said." In a way, Jonah is back where he was with God before he ran. Although he's probably a little wiser. He's probably a little bit more humble towards God. But we know that his discipleship is not complete. There's more in chapter 4. He has more to learn like the rest of us. God has remained steadfast with His grace all through the experience that Jonah has gone through. And God has not wavered in His message or in the mission that He has given to Jonah. He hasn't wavered. The Ninevites will be evangelized, Jonah. If you have to learn the lesson first, as I know you do, when you learn the lesson, I then want you to go and preach to the Ninevites. The Ninevites will be evangelized because I have purposed it, and it will happen. And Jonah is his instrument to call them to repentance, just like you and I are instruments today. We are called to go and tell people, to call them to repentance. We are to go to them and tell them to repent and believe in Jesus Christ. He's the only way for salvation. God has decided that through the sharing to others, He will save sinners. As a Christian, being saved by God's grace, I know your desire is to share the gospel. I know that. To be His instrument and to tell the good news of Jesus Christ. I know that's in your hearts. You believe it. I know you want to share it with others. I know you have people in mind that you want to tell the good news of Jesus Christ to. This chapter teaches us how we ought to share our faith in what God does by His grace in His servants and through us to sinners. Be encouraged by this chapter this morning. We are being taught how we are to share the truth. We may need God to correct us this morning. We may even need God to rebuke us this morning. And by His grace, show us how we are to live as servants who are traveling through this world on a mission for God. And God, using His church, will reach more sinners with His gospel message. In this part of Jonah, we see three aspects of God's continuing grace that enables His people to be sent as His ambassadors to share the gospel message of grace and witness Him work miracles in the hearts of sinners. Three aspects to God's grace. God's grace is so freely given to His people. It's a sending grace. It's a sharing grace. And it's a saving grace. Now, when I say that God's grace is given, I don't want you to picture like it's some kind of force that comes out of God's hand. God's grace is not separate from who God is. God's grace is God. Jonah was saved because he received God's grace. He was in the presence of God. So three aspects of His grace that He gives. He's giving Himself in these. First, God's grace is a sending grace. God saved Jonah by His grace and commanded him a second time, go. Go to Nineveh. That right there tells us a lot about God's grace. When His children receive His discipline and we repent, He blots out our transgressions and He chooses to remember them no more. Jonah was given a second chance. Just like the rest of us, God is giving a second, a third, and a fourth chance. When we repent and we call upon Him, Jonah's second chance meant that God intended to do what He willed through Jonah. The discipline of the fish brought Jonah back to God's call on his life. The mission never changed. And with the forgiveness God gave Jonah, there came a recommissioning. Go. That never changed. God's grace forgave Jonah. God forgave Jonah. God's grace restored Jonah. God restored Jonah. God's grace sent Jonah on mission to Nineveh. God sent Jonah again to Nineveh. When God restores his people, he restores not only their place with him, he restores the call that he has on their life. He restores their purpose and their calling. God's people are given the privilege and the duty to be lights in this world, and his grace makes it all happen. The glory of the gospel is that your sins have already been dealt with on the cross. They were already punished. God does not hold a grudge against you. And he's now sending you out there with his message. Do you need to learn a lesson first? Or do you learn the easy way and humbly submit and obey? Now, in case you're saying to yourself, well, Pastor, this is the Old Testament. God told Jonah to go, and that's in the Old Testament. We don't live in the Old Testament anymore. Well, God, he says the same exact thing in the New Testament. I already mentioned some of them. Let me say a few of them again. Jesus said, this is his words, John 20:21, as the Father sent me, I am sending you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. God has determined to continue his mission through God's people today, through the church. By the Holy Spirit, he says, Jesus has sent us just as the Father sent him. The obedience Jesus had toward the Father is the same obedience he expects of us. He has sent us, and we are to go. Jesus said this with all the authority that he was given, and he has all the authority. Jesus spent 3 days in the grave conquering death so that we will live, and this life is given so that we will then go and tell others that Christ saves. We are to go to them just in the same way that Christ came to us. Jesus has given you a new purpose in this life. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, your new purpose is to live for him. You are his personal representative to the other sinners who need to repent. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus gave us the Great Commission. Go and make disciples. It's pretty clear. It's pretty simple. As a follower of Jesus Christ, you have been sent on a mission. You have marching orders. You are a missionary. Now in the church, we have classified one group of people as missionaries. They go and they tell others. But every Christian is a missionary because we all have the same mission. We are to go and make disciples. You are saved by God's grace, and through this grace, you are now in the service of God, and you're sent to wherever he's calling you to do whatever he tells you to do. You have the same message of salvation. Redeemer Church is a sent church. We have been sent here to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ in the Dahlgren area to our neighbors, to all of those around us in King George. What do you and I do with our days? What do we do with our days? Do we live like we've been sent? Do you live as if you're on a mission from God? Do we see God's grace given so freely to us as a sending grace? So many Christians live as if they have already arrived in the celestial city. That city where there's only peace and joy. It's true. As a forgiven people, we have peace with God right now. And it's true that as God's people, we have joy in the gospel, in our faith. We have peace and we have joy right now. But it comes with the difficulty of accomplishing the mission in this life. And the reason is so that when we see people and we speak to them and we tell them the good news of Jesus Christ, no one assumes that there's a magical formula that we have to follow to have lasting happiness without turning to God for every single thing in this life. That's why there's difficulty. That's why this is hard for us. So that God is seen as the one who provides everything, even our desire and our ability to achieve the Great Commission. God is glorified in that. Don't live as if you're already in heaven with God. Don't live that way. Jesus hasn't come back. We have a purpose on this earth, so don't ignore it. Don't pretend like it doesn't apply to you. Live in the peace and the joy that God has for us and go and tell others about it. Next, God's grace is a sharing grace. God came to Jonah again and told him to go to Nineveh and call out against it the message that I tell you. The message that Jonah gave is yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's a short, clear message. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. But a huge awakening took place in that city, didn't it? A huge revival took place. Verse 5 says, they believed God, that great city believed God. They called for a fast and they mourned for their sin by putting on sackcloth. That's what they did in the Old Testament, to mourn. They believed God and they mourned their sin. They responded to the simple message that Jonah shared. Some scholars think that what's given to us here is a summary of what Jonah preached. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Maybe that's a summary of his sermons. Regardless if it's a summary or if it's the actual words, we have the point here. It was a simple message. God gave his grace to the Ninevites to respond to the message. Jesus tells us in Matthew that the people of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. Christ has also given us today, his church, a simple message. Share his truth and teach what he says. That's it. That's our command. That's our mission. Share his truth with as many as you can and teach what he says. His gospel truth is meant to be given to others. And his message, he says, is greater than the one Jonah has. Jonah says, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And Jesus says, I'm greater than Jonah. I fulfill every promise ever made by God. What a greater man, a greater God, a greater message. Jesus is the message. All that we say and do is centered around this gospel message of Jesus Christ. All that we say and do. God has determined to use us as his messengers of the gospel. And through us sharing it, people will hear it. And people will then, by the powerful grace of God, they will come to repentance. We are not allowed to water down the message. We are not allowed to change the message. We are not allowed to refuse to go and to share the message. The message is clear. We should not ignore our role in sharing the message. We can say as Christians, we are a message-giving people. We are a gospel-proclaiming people. There's any way you want to come up with and try and describe. We are a people that tell others about Jesus. Pick one of those. That describes your life as a Christian. You have received grace. You have been given the Word of God so that in this community where we live, people will hear about Jesus Christ and repent of their sins. God has chosen you. In other words, God has chosen you to carry His message. What a privilege. God wants you to share the message. What a joy. My prayer is that we will learn the lesson of Jonah the easy way. That we will see the power of God in giving His message to the people that He's put in our lives. No one is in your life by accident. No one is there. Only by appointment are they there. For one main reason. The reason why we all exist, and that is to come to know Jesus Christ and to worship Him. That's why they're in your life. Those people in your life, do they believe Christ? The people in your life, do you even know if they know about Christ? The people in your life, they know that you believe. Have you had the opportunity to share what you believe? This is not by accident that we have this message here this morning in this place where we live so that we will share the good news of Jesus Christ. If we need to be awakened, I pray that we're awakened. If we need to be corrected, I pray that our eyes will be open to the truth of God's Word. If we need to be encouraged, I pray that you see that you don't save anybody. God saves them. All we do is share the news, and God does the saving. We are messengers in this life. Do the people in your life believe in Christ? Have they repented of their sin? Are they trusting in Jesus for salvation? If not, you have been placed in their life as a messenger to tell them to repent and believe in Jesus Christ. You've been placed in their life to tell them about the coming judgment and the opportunity given now for grace. Now, I know what I've said is a lot already, and there's more here. And if we're honest, if we go and do that, there will be times when we become afraid. We all have these moments in our weakness when we become afraid. We clam up. We don't know what to say. In those times when your mind is wrestling with your thoughts and you have doubt and fear of rejection creeps in, remind yourself of the gospel truth. It's a very simple reminder. Jesus came to save sinners. And you were one of them. You are proof that God came to save sinners. You are proof that God does what He says. The people in your life need to repent. God's grace is the only salvation. And proof of God changing a sinner's heart is yourself. messengers from God are walking proofs of the power of God to save. Don't forget that when you share his message of grace, that when you share it, you sharing it is proof of God's grace. And God has more that he's bringing in. So God's grace is a sending grace. God's grace is a sharing grace. And third, God's grace is a saving grace. Jonah went throughout the city sharing the same message, and it reached even the king of Nineveh. From the common people up to the nobility, the message was the same. And what happened? People were saved. The king put out a decree. Let people call out to God, turn from their evil ways, in hopes of God having mercy and not judging the repentant in their sin. And we've already learned that God is a merciful and compassionate God. God spared Nineveh, and he saved them. For those who repent, they are forgiven, and their sin has been dealt with on the cross by Jesus Christ. How do others know about the need to repent? When you and I go, we share the message of the gospel. We then witness God work in the lives of sinners. God's grace is powerful enough to bring revival to the greatest ancient city of Nineveh. God's grace saves sinners. And God, when he brought the revival to the great city of Nineveh, is doing the same thing today. He is saving sinners. May it begin in our hearts and through us in the hearts of those around us. The message is simple. It's really simple. God's grace is a saving grace. Salvation comes from the Lord, nowhere else. The supernatural power of God and the incredible mercy of God converge in the hearts of sinners, and he saves them. This message of grace that we have received is meant to be shared with those who don't have it. Our ministry is the same as Jonah's. We have received God's word, and God has told us, now go. Go and share this message. Tell them that they need to repent. But Paul says it best in Acts 21, beginning in verse 16. Rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. It is only God who opens the eyes of the lost and who grants repentance. And he does it by sending you and I to those around us who need to hear about his grace. He has sent us. Will you go? God is sending you. Will you go? Will you share his message? Will you tell others the good news of Jesus Christ? And will you witness him save sinners? God did a work in Jonah so that he would then work through Jonah and save the people of Nineveh. And God has done a work in you so that he will then work through you and save others around you today. The mission hasn't changed. God has saved you, and he's still on mission of saving sinners. What Jesus did on the cross is only by God's grace. And that grace, seen in the church and carried by the church, brings the same repentance as what we witness, what we read about in Nineveh. Nineveh was spared because God used His servant to save them. May we be able to say, Dahlgren was spared. King George was spared because God used us to carry His message of salvation and they repented. Let's pray.